in Canberra today, Health Minister Greg Hunt. Now, he unveiled a new Children's National Mental Health Strategy. And this is important. It has the express purpose of building resilience in childhood to prevent mental illness and suicide amongst young people. And it follows research. And this is interesting, if not slightly disturbing research, I guess. It shows that 50% of all mental health conditions emerge by the age of 14. Lucy Brogdon is chair of the National Mental Health Commission. Lucy, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan.
That 50% figure, the age of 14, how should I respond to that? Is that a thing of concern, or is it good to know that that's what's going on?
Look, I think it's both. It's a concern because we don't want anyone struggling, but it's also good to know and allows us to target strategies and interventions to support our young people. And in the broader scheme of our approach to mental health, it's often the 0 to 12s that have been neglected or not as well served in the past.
The quantum here is quite extraordinary. 4 million Australians suffering some form of mental health issue in any given year, and half of those conditions by the age of 14. So these are big numbers. This is a big body of the population.
It certainly is. I don't think there's any family in Australia that hasn't been touched by mental health issues.
What's the trend here? How do these numbers compare, do we know, to the past?
Look, we do, Jonathan. I think community perception is that the numbers are on a steep trajectory up, and actually it's not. It's fairly and stubbornly flat at a high proportion, and that's something that we really want to tackle. I think what we're doing really well as a country is having these conversations around issues to do with mental illness, but we still haven't tackled the issues of self-stigma and help-seeking, and that's the challenge for all of us.
That is such an interesting thing, that line of incidence should be flat, because we make all these presumptions. The first one that you mentioned, that there's this spiking graph around mental health, but we also attribute a whole lot of circumstances around the modern world to that. And if that trend is reasonably consistent, maybe we need to rethink some of those causal issues.
Absolutely, and that's what we're looking at in our young people and in the children, is getting them on to a more positive trajectory, whether that's intervening with mums early, even prior to birth or post-birth, and from day zero, that first 2,000 days is really critical.
Now, you mentioned that notion of self-stigma, and that was something that Minister Hunt dwelled upon in his speech today, saying 61% of people with mental health issues were reluctant to seek help. Let's listen to what he said.
The other great challenge, though, of course, is stigma. Now, as a country, we've made extraordinary progress on destigmatisation. This is a topic we can talk about in the chambers of parliament or the press club, in the classroom or the locker room. But self-stigmatisation is the great frontier which we've yet to conquer.
Unpick that for us, Lucy, because we know that this is very much a thing of our moment, that people are increasingly less reluctant to discuss their mental health. But that idea of how you have that internal conversation, that's different.
Look, it is different, Jonathan. What we see is that many people are very happy and willing to walk the journey with someone else. But when they have to own the diagnosis and the recovery plan, it might be something they're more reluctant to do. And so how do we make experiencing mental ill health part of the general human condition, just as we would go and seek help for a physical issue, we would go for something around our mental health and well-being?
That figure of 4 million Australians suffering some sort of issue in any given year, where's the bar on that? What constitutes that mental health issue?
So these are diagnosed mental health issues, starting at what we call the mild to moderate, the mood disorders, right through to the full spectrum of psychosocial impairment.
Okay, so these are serious matters, that 4 million, they're not the worried well.
No, that's right. Not a term I particularly like.
No,
but,
sorry.
You know, there are, all of us have very normal worries. We experience very normal downtimes in our life in response to relationship breakdown, grief and loss, and that's part of the human condition. it's really those people for whom that is beyond something they can manage.
Okay, so how does the minister's strategy work? National and state and territory based, so on all those bases, what's the process?
So the key element for children is that there actually hasn't been a national strategy for our 0 to 12, and so it's quite critical that we develop that strategy getting in early. We know things like behaviour in childhood can be the best predictor of developing mental illness going forward. So how do we work with families, with parents, with schools to really help those children change their trajectory, support them through parenting skills, supporting our teachers in the classrooms. We have some good pieces of work across the country. We just need to link those up.
Because this is so important at that age group. We're not talking about people independently accessing services. These are young people, and presumably their first port of call in most cases where this is available would be within the family.
Absolutely. So it's really about supporting families. We know consistently from the evidence that our best buys in mental illness, mental health and well-being come from things like good parenting skills, drug and alcohol treatment programs, reducing young people's adverse childhood experiences, so supporting kids in out-of-home care with a mental health plan. It's also bringing that together and carrying those kids through their lifespan.
And there's got to be, I guess, here education for parents, for schools. What do they look for? What, you know, how does behaviour that may well be an indication of some sort of mental health issue, to be able to identify that, to act appropriately, is perhaps a skill that many people don't have now.
Absolutely. I mean, it is often said that we don't get a handbook or an instruction manual when we become parents. So it's supporting parents to trust their instinct, trust their gut, to be able to put up their hand. It may well be bringing some of the physical health screenings that we have for young children, putting some behavioural screenings with that, so that when parents are going through with their blue book and visiting the baby health clinics, they can start to have conversations around some of the behavioural issues they're concerned about.
You can see, can't you? I mean, as advanced as we are in having open conversations around mental health, to start screening programs in schools potentially, it's going to have a mixed reaction amongst parents.
Look, it is going to have a mixed reaction, and I guess coming from a family where we live with mental illness all the time, I would like to think that people can be comfortable with that concept and understand that the earlier we intervene in someone's life, the more positive their life course can be, the faster they move into a recovery-oriented life plan, and all of that leads to a much better outcome for everybody concerned. I think along with stigma is a sense of fear, and we need to overcome that fear and understand that most people will go on to lead very strong contributing lives.
There will be parents, though, who'll say, no, not my kid.
Absolutely, there will be parents. And we see many adults that say, not me too. And so it's how do we move on from that and help them feel safe and comfortable? We all want the best for our children. And I think part of this program will be education for parents to understand what might be a behaviour that is concerning and where they might go to get some support around that.
Suicide prevention is much talked about by this government in particular in recent times, and it's a real priority issue. And the minister is talking about programs there as well, which he says will draw on lived experience of people. What does he mean by that?
Well, lived experience is really the experts in the field, people that have lived with suicidal ideation, have lived in that moment of crisis, or those that love and care for people in that moment, or even sadly those that are bereaved. Those of us in that position, and sadly I live with that being in that position, but we're coming from a place of strength, know what it's like to hold that moment, but also how we're accessing or our services or finding barriers in the services that we need to access.
It's important, I think, you know, Lucy, that indication you're giving of personal investment in this.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the personal insights that people can bring will really give us good guidance as to what's going to work and not work. It's one thing to have a good evidence base of programs and interventions, but if the people that we want accessing and using those programs say, no, that won't work for us, then we need to go back to the drawing board. So much better to co-design from the beginning.
Just on a final point, Lucy, before we let you go, we saw yesterday in Sydney tragic events. A young man with a knife, a woman murdered, or a woman killed, I shouldn't presume on the circumstance, another injured, and conversations immediately about mental illness and a presumption of the connection between that mental illness and violence, the two going hand in hand. This is difficult territory for society to navigate, for media to navigate.
Look, it is difficult territory, but I guess the key message is that we need to remember that mental illness and violence don't go hand in hand, and that the linking the two is not helpful to the many people that are living with mental illness every day. And if we were going to tackle something around stigma, it's really trying to decouple that message. There will be examples in our communities, but the significant majority of people do not end up in that violent situation.
Lucy, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks very much, Jonathan.
Lucy Brogdon is Chair of the National Mental Health Commission, and if any of the content of our conversation has created issues for you or perhaps for people that you know and you want to talk that through, Lifeline is 13 11 14, 13 11 14.